9 a.m. Welcome to 2021. So let's call the order the annual appropriate poll committee meeting. With that, Peter, did you forget? Now it's been a year. Do you do your words first, or does Anna call roll first?
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman, and Happy New Year to you and all members of the appropriate pool. You have called the meeting to order. What we typically do is have Anna give some housekeeping items, which by now should be very familiar, but always good practice to remind ourselves, and then she would proceed with roll call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. So before I get into the roll call, I appreciate your indulgence as I read a few housekeeping items to ensure that we have a smoother meeting. And first is to please remember that this is an official meeting of the appropriative pool and it is being recorded. Please observe all meeting decorum as though the meeting were being held in person at Watermaster. And most importantly is to please remember to stay on mute unless you're speaking, and please remember to mute again when you're done speaking. Remember to please introduce yourselves before you speak. This is especially important for those making a motion or supporting a motion. I will take attendance using using the names as shown on roll call, as well as on the GoToMeeting dashboard. If your name does not appear at either location and you would like it noted for the minutes, please email me. When it's time for confidential session, staff will pause the recording and exit this GoToMeeting. All pool members should have a different line for confidential session. After confidential session, staff will turn on the recorder and go back to this GoToMeeting link and phone number shown at the top of the AP agenda. As always, we appreciate your support as we have to continue to conduct meetings remotely. And with that, I will go ahead and proceed with the roll call. Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water. CalMAP Company. City of Chino.
Dave Crosley.
City of Chino Hills. City of Fontana. City of Norco. City of Ontario.
Scott Burton.
City of Pomona.
Chris Diggs.
City of Upland.
Steve Ledbetter.
County of San Bernardino. Cucamonga Valley Water District.
John Bosler.
Fontana Union Water Company.
John Smith.
Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely.
Golden State Water Company.
Ben Lewis.
Harupa Community Services District.
Good morning, Alice, Chris.
Marigold Mutual Water Company. Monta Vista Irrigation Company.
Justin Scott Coe.
Monta Vista Water District.
Also Justin Scott Coe. Good morning, everyone.
NCL Company. Niagara Bottling. Nicholson Family Trust.
Chris Feely.
San Antonio Water Company. Santa Ana River Water Company. West End Consolidated Water Company.
Steve Ledbetter.
West Valley Water District. Okay. Ron Craig, City of Chino Hills, are you on? Okay, that concludes roll call. Please go ahead and proceed whenever you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Anna. Okay, do we have any additions or reorder of the agenda from staff?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that we pull item 2E from consent, which is the annual report, and we'll move that as a business item. We have some proposed edits that we'd like to share and discuss with the pool.
Okay, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Any additions or reorder from the pool? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to item one, annual elections. We'll start off with the chair and the vice chair. Not sure how we're going to do this on the phone. Let's call for nominations first, I would believe. Do we have any recommendations or nominations from the pool for the chair? We'll start with the chair.
This is Chris Diggs. I'll nominate you.
Okay. Thank you.
I've only had
two meetings in person. All my meetings have been on GoToMeetings. It's been different.
Yeah, that's John. I think that's why you're not going to graduate, and you got to go back to school for one more year.
Oh, great.
You know, I would just like to say before we move on, I think that both John and Chris did an excellent job this year. I think we got a lot accomplished. I think there was a lot of good communication. So, you know, I would second that nomination for John as chair, assuming you're willing to do it and have the time.
It's another thank you, Scott and Chris. Are there any other nominations for chair? All right, hearing none. No, thank you. I appreciate that. I am up for doing it another year. I know it's been a tough year, and with especially being go to meetings and not being able to do it in person, but you know, we still have a lot more to do, and I'm willing to stay on for one more year. I will say that, you know, Chris Feely and John Schatz have been extremely helpful this last year for me, and they've done an awesome job as well too. So thank you. So being that we only have one nomination for chair, I don't believe we have to go through the votes, right? Is that correct, Peter?
That's entirely up to you, Mr. Chairman, however the pool wants to handle it.
Okay, I'll just say, is anybody opposed to me being chair for this next year? Okay, hearing none, I guess my sentence gets extended a year. So let's have nominations for vice chair.
I'll nominate Scott.
Okay, Scott Burton. Is there a second on that?
Gino Hills will second. Ron Craig.
A second. Okay, and I do want to say it. Well, first I'll ask, is there any other nominations for vice chair? Okay, hearing none. I do know that, you know, Chris has done an awesome job, Feely as vice chair last year, and I know he's very busy at his job, and I know he would love to help. He's just, you know, has other commitments that he needs to do, and you know, I respect that, and I want him to know that, you know, Scott, it's going to be tough for you to fill Chris's shoes. I'll just say that. He's done an awesome job, and I truly respect what he did this last year for us.
You know, John, I'll add that nomination that I just made is knowing full well that Chris is burdened quite extensively at work and with the transition of some people there that he wasn't looking for a second year, but you didn't get to avoid that punishment.
Great. Thank you for those comments about Chris too. And again, I just want to, I can't emphasize enough the great job that he did for us. And I know that he would like to do it. He just can't do it this year.
Yeah, and John, this is Scott. I would just like to say thank you for the folks who are entrusting me with filling Chris's shoes. I too think he did an excellent job. Really appreciated the communication and the organization that Chris brought to the table. And so I'm honored, and I also think probably Courtney should be honored since we're kind of a team here at Ontario. So thank you.
I'm sorry, Chris. I thought you were going to say something, or you started to.
I was just going to thank the poll for your comments, and thank you for the opportunity to serve this past year. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. So I'll do the same thing. Is anybody opposed to the vice chair nomination? All right, hearing none, then we'll move on. I guess Secretary Treasurer is Watermaster General Manager. Is that one? Sorry, yeah. So item B is calendar year 21, appropriate to pull minor representatives to the 2021 Advisory Committee. So we have minor rep one and minor rep two. Do we have a nomination for the minor rep one from the minor producers?
I'd like to nominate Brian Lee Wasaka.
Okay, I'm sorry, who was that was speaking?
That was Justin.
Oh, Justin, okay.
This is
Brian Lee Wasaka is minor rep one.
John, this is Ben Lewis with Golden State Water Company. I'll second that.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Golden State, second it. Any other nominations for the minor rep one? Okay, hearing none, congratulations, Brian Lee Wasaka, minor rep one. We'll go on to minor rep two. Any nominations for minor rep two?
And this is Steve with West End, and I'd like to nominate Justin Scott Coe for minor rep two, Monta Vista Irrigation.
Okay.
Scott Burton with Ontario will second that.
And excuse me, so Scott, you're on the minor somewhere too, right? Or
I'm just making a second for that, or can I not do that? Okay.
I don't know. It is for a minor rep, so I would think that the minor reps would have to.
Hey, John, this is Ben Lewis with Golden State Water Company. I'll make a second.
Okay, thank you, Ben. You solved that problem in case it is a problem.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry about that, Scott.
Nope, fine.
Okay, and I'm sorry, who was the nomination again? I didn't write that down.
Justin,
that's right. Sorry, Justin. Okay, anybody opposed to that? Are there any other nominations for minor rep two? Hearing none, okay. Monta Vista Irrigation Company is minor rep two. Okay, let's go on to item C, calendar year 2021, appropriate to pull member appointed to serve as advisory committee officer. This will be the vice chair position. Do we have any nominations for that?
This is Scott Burton, Ontario. I would like to suggest two, and I haven't had a chance to talk to them, see if they're interested, but I would suggest, just as payback to my friend Chris at Pomona, maybe Chris Diggs would be good, or even Justin Scott Coe, if either of those folks are interested.
I would accept that.
I'll defer to Chris.
So I heard Chris said he's interested, is what I heard, right?
So that'll be my motion. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, do we have a
second? Keno Hill, second. Ron Craig.
Okay. Any other nominations for vice chair and advisory? Hearing none, congratulations, Chris. Your sentence as well. All right, so the next item is item D, calendar year 2021, appropriate to pull representation on the Watermaster Board. This is information only. Rupa Community Services District, the new member is Betty Folsom, and the alternate is Betty Anderson.
Yeah, actually, I have a change on that. So there was an error on the alternate, so that should be Jane Anderson, not Betty Anderson.
Okay. We got a lot of Bettys and Andersons there, huh?
Yeah.
So Jane, is that Jane Anderson?
Jane Anderson is alternate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chris, excuse me, this is Peter. Did we misprint that on the agenda?
I think so. I just reset. Stuff, Dan. I just sent it this morning, though, so sorry about the lateness.
Okay. So long as we have it right on the record. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the consent calendar. we have, we are pulling item 2E will be pulled from the consent calendar. Do I have a motion for the rest of the consent calendar?
Monte Vista Water Company, I'll make a motion to approve.
Monte Vista motion. Do I have a second? Rupa second. Anybody opposed? Hearing none, the consent calendar passes minus item 2E. We move that to the business items. So next we have, I have my agenda up. So now we're going to business items. So Peter, now is the time for item 2E to be presented under business.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and congratulations to you and to Mr. Burton for your election, as well as to all the others that were appointed by the pool. I'd like to ask Mr. Justin Nakano of our staff to introduce this this topic.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, members of the pool. Happy New Year's to everyone. This topic is for the 43rd annual report. This report is something that we have to file with the court by January 31st every year. This was put out for your review, and we did receive some comments from the City of Chino. They're largely non-substantial, but they do add a little bit of clarity and conciseness to our text. So I just wanted to go over these three pages where there are some edits for you really quick. The first being on page two, a simple wordsmithing to the title in regards to the dry year yield program continues to be implemented rather than being. Janine, if you do the next page, please. All the way down, kind of in the last portion of the page, we added some clarity. This was in regards to the Prado Basin habitat and that there's no impact by our monitoring, or our monitoring is showing that there's no impact. We're being a little bit specific by saying that there was some greening that's happening in the area, but to be honest, with greening or browning, we're not impacting it at all, so we just kind of changed that language to be a little bit more broad. And Janine, if you can move to the next page, please. And then, so the third comment was in regards to the assessment package changes, or how we retroactively went back to recalculate some of the assessment packages. A word was used, allocation of the OSY to the appropriators and the agricultural pool. We removed the agricultural pool from that sentence because the way that the rights, the OSY is allocated is different. So we changed around the paragraph a little bit just to make that a little bit more clear. Those changes spilled over to the paragraph below with the DRO assessments as well. So those changes were made to reflect the changes above. All these are posted to the website as well, where you can find the annual report. If you have any more questions, I'll take them now. If you have any more comments, please feel free to email me, and we can potentially have some more red lines before advisory. Other than that, those are the changes and that we've made so far.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the floor?
This is Justin. Just to express appreciation to Chino for their review and edits, which look very good.
Thank you, Justin. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion to approve? With those changes.
Just
So Harupa most the first. I have second.
Montana Water Company will second.
Montana Water Company second. Okay, anybody opposed? Hearing none. Okay, item 2E passes, is approved. So let's move on to reports and updates. First up is the legal counsel.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Happy New Year. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Just a handful of reports here. I'll try to be brief. First, the San Bernardino County Superior Court emergency order. As you know, the court has reopened on a limited basis. It does continue to have limited hours and restrictions on entrance to the courtrooms. Of particular note, the court recently further reduced the hours for its public filing windows. If you're interested in more information, it's very prominent on the court's front page of its website. Or please let me know if you have any questions as well. On the motion of the appropriated pool member agencies regarding the ag pool legal and other expenses, I know your pool is very familiar with this. Just a quick recap on what's happened since the last time that the pool met in this setting. The court did hold a hearing on November 13th. And at that point in time, the court held that Watermaster had followed the procedures that it had formulated and was acting as an escrow in a clerical capacity when implementing Section 5.4A of the peace agreement. The court ordered the appropriative pool member agencies who were party to the motion or joined the motion and the ag pool to submit their dispute to non-binding mediation consistent with the provisions of the peace agreement. The court set a further hearing for December 11 for the sides to report if they had agreed upon a mediator. And if they had not, the court was going to select one at the January 8, 2021 hearing. The court also made clear that all claims, including claims against Watermaster related to the dispute, would be tolled through 14 days after the mediation had ended. At the December 11 hearing, the parties had not yet selected a mediator. And the court heard arguments from both sides regarding payment of mediation fees. The court at that time ordered the ag pool to provide a statement as to whether it wished to continue with the mediation. And the ag pool did do that just prior to Christmas and allowed the ag pool to brief the issue of payment of mediation fees, which it did on December 31st. This segues into our next report item here. At the January 8th hearing last Friday, the court heard from the sides to the mediation that they had jointly selected a mediator, ordered both sides to complete the mediation no later than the close of business on March 25th, and ordered that at this time each side would bear its own costs related to the mediation subject to further order of the court. On January 8th, the court additionally considered and granted Watermaster's motion to receive and file the Ground Level Monitoring Committee annual report and heard a further report regarding the status of the 2020 OBMP and the local storage limit solution. The court set two further hearings. It set a hearing for March 26th at 1:30 p.m. to receive a further update on the status of the 2020 OBMP and the local storage limitation solution. The court additionally set a hearing for June 25th at 1:30 p.m. for the court to address the storage of water in the basin as may then be necessary and appropriate under its continuing jurisdiction. Any questions so far? Okay, finally, the Kaiser lawsuit. The parties are aware of the pending lawsuit by Kaiser related to the December 2018 water upwelling on the Kaiser property in Ontario. All of the four parties to what we call the four-party agreement, the Water Conservation District, San Bernardino County Flood Control District, IUA, and Watermaster, have now been brought in as defendants in that matter. Discovery has begun, and no trial date has yet been set. A trial setting conference is scheduled for January 27th. This is the same date that the court is going to hear a demurrer filed by Watermaster in regard to the complaint by Kaiser. Okay, if there are no questions, that's my report.
Good. Thank you, Brad. Any questions for Brad?
John, this is Scott Burton with Ontario. Brad, just a quick question, and maybe this is not new information, but I think I just heard you say that the four parties you mentioned as part of the whole recharge operation have all been essentially sued by Kaiser at this point. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Brad? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Brad. If you can move on to the engineer, if you can move on to the engineer report.
Good morning, everyone. This is Andy. It's good to see you all again in the new year. I have a short update on the technical work that we're performing to support the CEQA clearance for the local storage limitation solution. I've been reporting to you in the past that we are performing modeling work for this effort to simulate the physical impacts on the basin from the expected future use of storage. And the model planning scenario that we're using is a modification of scenario 2C from the storage framework investigation, which represents that expected future use of managed storage. We're very close to completion. We're finalizing the documentation of the model results, and we plan to deliver those model results to Tom Dodson next week. And when we do that, we understand that Tom Dodson will have the environmental review to the IUA board so it can consider it in March, and its meetings in March. So very short report from the engineer this month. I'm happy to take any questions on that, though.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Any questions for Andy? All right, hearing none.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our CFO report. Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning to all of the appropriate pool members for 2021. Happy New Year. The first report is the RMPU financing options. If you recall, currently right now, Watermaster pays approximately $534,000 for debt service each year. I'd like to introduce Christina Valencia, the Executive Manager of Finance and Administration and AGM with IUA, and she will go through the recharge financing options. Go ahead, Christina.
Thank you, Joe. Happy New Year and good morning to everyone. This is my first time presenting at the committee, so be kind. What I'm presenting to you today, as Joe described, is just some financing options related to the 2013 Recharge Master Plan update. As required by the 2013 RMPU, both Watermaster and IUA are to develop a financing plan. And the financing plan was really intended to optimize the use of grants and the use of low-interest loans to reduce the estimated unit cost. And as all of you are aware, that unit cost was a key component of the evaluation of the projects that were considered to move forward with implementation. A master recharge facilities financing agreement was entered into back in 2002. This was part of the financing structure that was set in place to finance the Chino Basin facilities improvement projects. You may recall that was the initial set of recharge projects improvements that were done. Bonds were used as a primary financing vehicle at the time. So the Master Recharge Facilities Agreement was also provided for the framework for the ultimate ownership and for the operation of these groundwater recharge facilities. Next slide, please. The 2013 amendment, which was an amendment to the 2010 Chino Basin Recharge Master Plan, was approved by both IUA and Watermaster in 2013. It was consistent with that optimum basin management plan program element number two. This element or this phase of the OBMP calls for the implementation of a comprehensive package of recharge projects to enhance water supply in the Chino Basin and to protect and enhance the water quality. As highlighted in the slide, there were 11 projects that were initially considered. But after planning and further review, five of the projects were deemed unfeasible, and only six of the projects were approved by the Water Master parties to move forward. Of the six, the estimated new yield is just shy of 12,000 acre feet a year. This new supply may reduce or is expected to reduce the demand on imported water supplies going forward. Next slide, please. And this map just shows the location of those projects. Included here's also a table that kind of gives you a little bit more of a preview on the expected yield breakdown between the stormwater recapture and the recycled water recharge that is projected for each of the projects. You will note that there's only five listed, and that's because the RP3 basin is being combined with the Wineville-Haruba stormwater distribution pipeline project. Next slide, please. So also as required of the 2013 RMPU, that financing plan identified the preferred strategy, which was, again, to optimize grants and to use the low-interest loans. So this table here is going to summarize for you of the six projects that were approved to go forward, what the estimated project cost in total are, as well as the grant funding that has been received to date. There's only a couple of grants, as shown here, that are still pending, and that is both related to the Montclair Basin. One is the USBR grant. That, we heard, due to the recent events at our nation's capital, may be delayed a little bit, expected now in March. And the other one from MWD is there's 99% certainty on that we should be getting that within the next month as well. So for all of this, a significant amount, and certainly, applaud all of the efforts from the Water Master staff and IUA team that have been so successful in getting this additional funding, which, as you can see, significantly reduces the balance remaining to either be paid on a PAYGO for the soft costs or to be financed by debt. So over 50% of that, which is an exceptional accomplishment. I also want to highlight the last two columns, and that shows the cost share between Water Master and IUA. This cost share is also consistent with the master cost share agreement that was entered into by the agencies back in 2014. And it established a framework for both the joint management and allocation of costs. And what it basically outlines is any projects that enhance the stormwater capture or the supplemental water recharge capacity are 100% funded by Water Master. And an example of that would be the Lower Day Basin. Any other improvements that also increase the capacity for recycled water recharge, such as the San Sebastian Basin improvements, are funded equally between Water Master and IUA. So for these projects, as you can see from the table, the majority of what is remaining to be financed, about 90%, is going to be a Water Master cost. Next slide, please. And again, just to highlight the benefit of the grant funding that is being brought forth, over 50% of the cost being reduced, which means the estimated unit cost that was initially developed as part of the evaluation criteria for these projects is drastically reduced by about 50%. That means less money will be needed to be financed to support the remaining balance. Next slide, please. So also consistent with the financing plan, state revolving fund loans, which are administered by the State Water Resources Control Board, have been and will be utilized to finance the remaining balance not supported by PAYGO. The SRF loans do continue to be the lowest cost of financing compared to just traditional market debt. And in this round, because of the amount being lower than anticipated, we even looked at bank private placements, but those were certainly more expensive and more challenging actually to get for the period of time of the term that we're looking at. To date, we have completed the loan agreement for the San Sebastian project. That was the first project listed on the prior table. That agreement was executed at a 30-year term at a rate of 1.8% fixed throughout the period. And this is net of that $2.5 million principal forgiveness that was secured along with that note. While historically we have used these 30-year terms for SRF loans, there has been a recent change made to the prepayment provisions of the SRF loan agreement by the state board. And what brought about this change is a change in their financing strategy. So what they're now doing is leveraging outstanding loans, and this is a very common practice. And the reason for doing that is to expand the capacity of the program, which is something we certainly support. As long-term beneficiaries of this program, we certainly want to see more money made available for more loans to more agencies, which has been a concern in the past. However, which is very typical of these leverage programs, what is now required going forward with any SRF loan agreement is that you obtain approval by the deputy manager of the division prior to any early repayment of the loan or any refinancing. You may recall just back in June, we were able or successfully were able to refinance the bonds for that Chino Basin facilities improvement improvements that were done that were financed back in 2002. So we did that for cost savings as well as to fix out that variable rate and get rid of that letter of credit. Along with that refinancing, we also refinanced 7 of IUA outstanding loans. That provides a lot of flexibility, and when market conditions are favorable, we certainly want to take advantage of those conditions and further reduce costs for our ratepayers. And, you know, looking at 30 years, it really is unknown what other changes can occur in regulations, in covenants, in financial conditions that may require us to refinance or even pay that loan earlier than its maturity. So to mitigate this for the remaining 2013 RMPU projects, we reached out to the state board. We tried to negotiate a prepayment provision that would allow us a pre-approval on a prepayment going forward. We were not successful, but we're still working with them on this. They did, however, offer a shorter maturity, which is highlighted here. They offer, instead of just the traditional 30, they're willing to give us a shorter maturity, 20, 15, or 13-year terms at a discounted rate. So currently, the 30-year SRF loan fixed rate is at 0.9%. If we go for a 20, 15, or 10-year maturity, they would reduce the rate by 25 basis points down to 0.65%. Next slide, please. So what does that mean in terms of Watermaster and your costs? Highlighted here is what the estimated debt service cost would be for those shorter maturity terms, the 20, 15, and 10, and compared as well, or including as well as the existing debt. So what we projected, and this is an estimate at this time, but just for, you know, illustration purposes, based on what the grants that we are expected to receive and the estimated remaining costs, we are expecting to finance about $10.25 million in SRF loans at a fixed rate of 0.65 for these various terms. We're seeing an estimated cost for the RMPU project of about $548,000 for a 20-year, $719,000 for 15, and then up to $1 million in 10 years. The total here the total shown here actually includes what's already part of your debt service, which is the 2020 refunding bonds. Those were just refinanced in June at a fixed rate, so you're seeing that 480 going across for the remaining term of those bonds, as well as the new loan that was executed, SRF loan for 30 years for the Sensibine. So very similar to your home mortgage, obviously, the longer the loan, the lower the payment because that principal is spread out through a longer period, but the more interest that you will pay. So this is why you see a higher estimated debt service on the RMPU for the 10-year versus the 20-year. But what's important here is also, what does that mean in terms of cost savings overall? Next slide, please. So based on that principal amount of $10.25 million and the fixed rate of 0.65%, Shown here is what the total estimated interest expense would be over the life of the loan. And you can see how dramatically it reduces down. I believe, and I apologize because I think these numbers are incorrect. They should be the reverse. So my apologies for that. For the 20 years, you're going to be paying, no, yes, for the 20 years, you're going to be saving a lot more money. This is my mistake. Those are correct, and I apologize. So the estimated interest expense over the life of the loan, these are the savings that you'll be realizing. This is not the actual expense. So for 20 years, you'll be paying $714,000. For 15 years, you'll be paying a total of $541,000. But if you only finance for a 10-year term, they'll be paying a total of $370,000. So substantial savings when you go to a lower maturity. If you look at it on a five-year increment basis, for every 5 years that you reduce the financing term, you're saving about $173,000 in total. And I know you're going to have questions because I think I just confused you. So I believe that completes my presentation, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. Any questions for
her? Yeah, John, it's Scott Burton, Ontario. Couple questions. Christina, that was a really good presentation, and these are kind questions. So,
thank you.
Yeah. You know, the first thing that stands out to me as we're looking at what we're working on here is with all of this, these improvements and the additional recharge it brings, stormwater, recycled water, is just it highlights the importance of our storage work right now and the storage implementation plan and making sure we have room for the storage. So I think it just highlights that for me. And the other thing is, as I recall, when we were working on these projects back, it's been a number of years now, as you said, we were looking at a price point of about $650 an acre foot, I think. And many parties did not want to do any projects that would result in a cost of water that was more than that. And now I think I saw about $375 an acre foot with all the grant funding that has been secured. So I think that's outstanding. And it makes me think again, since Ontario is one of the agencies that maybe had a little more appetite, looking forward to revisiting that list, and maybe we can get additional grant funding in the future for other projects. So thank you for that. And really the last comment is this is about $10 million of financing, which when you split it between all of these agencies is really not a huge amount. I mean, we're always looking at what we're doing on the retail side and what may be coming up on other expenses at Watermaster. But I would be interested in the option of if collectively or individual agencies of just paying this off as part of our capital improvement program and not financing at all. So that's kind of my question. Is that something we can do?
Is that a question for me?
Well, I suppose it's a question for you, but also in terms of presenting that option, but also probably for Joe and Peter as well.
I'll defer to Peter on that because absolutely, CAGO is always an option.
Yes, it is. If I could just interject, Janine, if you could pull up that one calculation sheet, please. Just so that everyone has just a quick idea of what this would or could look like. Next slide, please. There you go. So basically, this is a calculation of what the current recharge debt payment is. So obviously the recharge debt payment is calculated on operating safe yield. So you can see the current $534,000, and then you can see how that is broken down by the appropriate pool parties. The column there next to 20 year for $1,089,000, you can then see that would be the full cost. So Let's go with the first one. The city of Chino Hills, under the existing right now, they're paying $20,883,000. Under the 20-year, they would be paying $41,009 for an increase of about $21,000. If the 15-year option was chosen, they would be paying $48,000 or about a $27,000 increase. Or if a 10-year option was chosen, that would be $61,000 or about a $41,000 increase. So you can see, based on your party, as Christine had mentioned, very similar to what mortgage is, the shorter the term, the more the expense is. Again, this is just for discussion purposes. This is not the actual, but this gives you a little bit of an idea of what your agency's costs would be if you chose the 20, the 15, or the 10-year.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. And just to kind of explain my question a little more, using Chino Hills again as the example, if we're financing collectively $10 million, a little bit more, and Chino Hills is 3.9%, they're looking at a one-time payment of $390,000. And I think it might make sense for agencies to be able to look at it and just, rather than pay the interest over time, it's a small enough capital expense to maybe just pay the bills as they come in.
You would have to get everybody to agree to that, though, because you'd have to pay it all off at the same time. I think that would be, that may be difficult. I guess
that would be the cleanest way. The other way would be that this is identified as a separate assessment, and that's kind of how we did it with the desalters. So it's not built into the base, assessment costs. It's a separate, kind of the way the legal fees are treated for a couple of the pools. It's a separate item on the invoice, and I guess Peter and Joe, maybe that's something to think about if there's that flexibility with Watermaster just to handle it that way.
You know, when it comes to this issue, Watermaster is a joint partner in the Regional Financing Authority. And so Watermaster acts as a clearinghouse to collect the payments and send them to IUA, which is its board, I believe, is also the Regional Financing Authority and has the responsibility of managing the loans and the grants and so on. So Watermaster really doesn't have any role or recommendation other than to make sure that whatever decision is made is clear to the parties as to the individual impacts. The question about pay as you go or pay it all up front, that ties more to any conditions that may be tied to the existing loans, the existing SRF, and I'm hearing that that is going away as an option, the option to prepay. But that's not our bailiwick. We're happy to, if it's possible from the conditions of the loans, and it's and the parties all are willing to pay it up front, Watermaster will be happy to do that. If we want to refinance it as proposed, pick one of the options, we'll be happy to do that. There's no decision that's being asked of the appropriators today. This presentation is being made so that everyone has the information, has time to process, to examine within their own finance departments what they want to do and come back and discuss. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Joe and Christina were asking for the pool to express his preference next month, and so if there's an action required by Watermaster board as a member of the financing authority, it could be done in February. So the idea is to surface the issue, get you all to think about, ask the types of questions you're asking, and then have a month to let it mature as an issue.
Yes, and Janina, if you just go back to the Christina's slide presentation, please. And we'll just talk for a few minutes on the next steps.
Yeah. Next slide.
I think it was slide 8.
It's slide. So, yes, exactly right, Peter. It is really just asking at this time for your consideration and providing us direction on how to proceed. All of these loans are ready to be executed at the state with the state board. They've had some issues with implementation of software, is my understanding, and so they have quite a bit of a backlog, and they're pressing everyone where the loan agreements have been completely reviewed and they're ready to go to get those done as quickly as possible. So we have been, or Jesse has been contacting with them, and we're hoping to get this through the Water Master Board, as Peter indicated, next month, so that we're able to go back and complete and close out these agreements with the State Board as early as maybe late February or early March. Any other questions?
Dave Crosley has a question. What I understand from Scott's comment is we're asking if it's possible for individual appropriators to possibly pay off their share of the debt as a separate assessment. Whereas other appropriators as a group would prefer to pursue a financing option. So can it be both?
And Scott Burton mentioned that this was done, and I do remember that being done with the CDA. I think Ontario was the only agency in the JPA that actually prepaid their share of the obligations at that time. This is something we'll have to work through. There are various loans that will be impacted, so it may be an administrative challenge to do it that way, depending on how many agencies elect to prepay. So if we can get an indication as to maybe before the next meeting or as part of this review process, if you can come back to us and tell us what your preference would be, we can reach out and maybe do some calculations here to see how that impacts each of those loans and whether it makes sense to do it that way. But we're certainly willing to work with all of you to see, to come up with the best strategy. Certainly, if we can reduce the amount to be financed, we'll certainly do that and work with you.
Any other questions for Christina?
Justin, Scott Coe has a question.
Go ahead, Justin. We'll get you next round.
I'll be quick, Ron. First off, just thank you very much for this presentation and giving us a heads up before the decision next month. Very much appreciated. A great presentation and discussion. Maybe just two requests for information, either now or at a later time. One is Scott mentioned the price point coming down from the 600s down into the 300s. On a per acre foot basis. I was wondering if that calculation could be circulated or posted so we can remind ourselves of it, if some of us who need to. And second, this may be more of an engineering question, is the two water components recharge, one is stormwater and the other recycle water. The stormwater component, which I think was about 4,700 acre feet, is that already incorporated into the projected safe yield of 131, or is that truly new yield, quote unquote new yield, as defined under the peace agreement?
And I'll defer this to Peter.
And again, that wasn't really covered here, so it can be information to be provided at a later time. It just occurred to me.
Okay.
I would suggest that maybe we go back to the slide that showed the list of the projects and the cost and how much was paid by loans and grants.
Okay.
because I think that has the answer to Justin's first question about the cost. If I remember well, the conversations in the 2013 amendment to the 2010 RMPU, the parties had settled. No, not that slide.
Okay, yeah.
Go that one, yeah. The parties had settled on an aggregate cost of $612 per acre foot. I may be off, but I think that's what it was. And there were a number of projects that were identified, and then moving forward through the RIPCOM process, some of the projects were evaluated and fell off, and the projects that were evaluated and fell off were the ones that had higher dollars per acre foot. So the average has been brought down. I think it's not showing on my screen. It may be a matter of I've zoomed in a little too close. But I think this one doesn't have acre feet. Well, I'm sorry, I'm rambling a little bit. But the information is there as to the dollars per acre foot. We'll certainly bring it back. I think that'll be helpful for the parties. We'll bring it back in February on what is the dollar per acre foot of the projects that are going forward. And as far as the question on new yield, the concept of new yield, again, if memory serves me right, went away when we switched from a retro to a prospective calculation of safe yield. So the projects themselves are being assumed by our engineer as though they will happen and as though they will have the yield that they're estimated to have in going forward. So the calculation for the decade that we're in included these projects as having been built and adding water in.
Thanks, Peter. That helps.
This is Joe. I'd also like to just reiterate, I don't think that this has been mentioned yet, next Thursday, January 21st at 9:30 at the RIPCOM meetings, this presentation will also be provided. And I don't want to make any promises or commitments on Christina's side whether she would be able to have any of that information provided. That's been requested, but this presentation will be provided again at the RIPCOM meeting.
Thanks, Joe. I think that's a really good reminder for parties to attend. Obviously, this is a good time to focus on this. And I would ask if we can have Joe and Christina please come back with the answer to the question of is prepayment completely foreclosed as an option? Because if prepayment is foreclosed as an option, then I think we have the answer to the question that both Scott and Dave have asked, which is can some parties prepay and others not? Is prepayment still a viable option? And if it is, then we should know about it. Then we can dive into the next step of then how do we handle it if some want to and others don't.
Okay.
Thank you, Peter. Justin, was that?
I had a question for you. I don't know if Ron still had one or not.
Yeah, Ron
still has one. Just real quick. Thanks, Christina. I'm going to show my ignorance here, I guess, but I didn't follow why the state of California has added this extra approval on early payoff on SRF. If I was following what you were said correctly, I mean, it seems to me that early payoff creates more capacity. You know, that's a revolving fund, and you get the loans paid off early. That creates funds available for other projects in the SRF. That's the way I thought it worked. So I just didn't follow that logic, Christina, and I'm sure it's just me.
No. That's a really, really good point because we kind of struggle with that as well. But what they're doing now to create more capacity is that they're actually leveraging. It's almost like selling off your accounts receivable, if you will. And so once these are packaged and bundled and sold, what they're concerned about, for example, if just a single loan for IUA for $100 million, let's say for the RP5 expansion that we're expecting, once that's bundled and sold, you've got a $100 million loan out there that you've basically leveraged. a high quality creditor, and we decide that we're going to prepay and refinance the debt, and that's being pulled away from that package that was sold. So it can at some point, and not often, but it may have the potential of reducing the quality of the credit or the amount of that package as it was leveraged. So they want to safeguard.
I get it. I appreciate that. This is all just state of California monkey business, in my opinion. Then, so it's, you know, if the state handled things correctly in their own finances, they wouldn't have to leverage, you know, the quality of our finances for it. So.
No,
I'm sorry. It's just a frustrating thing for me. So no more questions. That's it. We can move on. Thank you.
Thank you. You had a question?
Yeah. How do I follow that, Ron? Come on. No.
You're in the wrong state, Ron.
Christina, I don't get to see you enough anymore. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I more of a comment. This graphic we have in front of us, I think, tells us what we can do if we plan well together. And I remember when we were looking at all these projects, and Scott Burton's absolutely right. We were looking at that, and we were bundling things together, and we were saying $600, $650, if we can bundle our projects together and meet that type of return, then we should be doing this, because it's only going to get lower if we get grant money. And we ended up getting, you know, exactly, actually more than what we had planned on the original financing plan. And I think it's also, you know, for your team, Christina, to be finding ways to refinance. The thought of, I don't know if I missed it, but I think we're talking about refinancing a 1.9% loan to something that's like 0.6. So, I mean, you know, when we were looking at 1.9%, we were comparing that to 5%, what we paid before. So just, I don't know, it's pretty awesome. And I just hope like the whole team can kind of get perspective on this and look at what we can do when we all get together and come up with a good plan and pull the trigger. So
thank you, Chris. And I really do have to compliment Chris because he really was behind a lot of this effort. He led a lot of the grants.
I did not say anything to say nothing.
No. I know who you were. I mean, you haven't been gone that long. So thank you for all of the contributions.
Okay, any further questions for Christina and Joe and Chris? All right, hearing none. I think that was just the first part of your presentation or your update, right, Joe?
That's item number one, yes. Thank you very much, Christina. Thank you for all the very valuable questions.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
I hope you come back, Christina. Hope we didn't scare you away.
Thank you, John.
Moving on to the next item, a review of the fiscal year 2020-2021 assessment package payment status. Janine, if I could have you pull up the payment chart, please. If you recall, it seems like a lifetime ago, but we invoiced approximately $10.4 million on November 19th, 2020. For the judgment, payments are due 30 days from the invoice date, so those payments were due on Monday, December 21st, 2020. To date, we have received all of the payments with the exception of the items that you can see for the appropriative pool highlighted in the salmon color. We received all payments except for $384,736.12. That is the portion of the agricultural pool expenses that have not been paid to date. If Janine, if you could just slide the screen, the sheet down just a little bit. That's for the appropriative pool. If I could show the non-agricultural pool. Keep going, please. All of their payments have been made with the exception of San Antonio Winery for $22,006. We have been in contact with San Antonio Winery due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Their operations have been shut down and payments will be made once their operation is back up and running again. Are there any questions in regards to the status update? Okay, and then moving finally, item number three of the financial report is the upcoming fiscal year 2020-2021 mid-year review. As always, we do a mid-year review that basically takes a snapshot look at the expenses from July 1st through December 31st of the year, the first 6 months. That is scheduled for the pool meetings, advisory, and board next month, so next February, or this February.
All right.
Hearing no questions, that concludes my reports. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, let's move on to the general manager report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item is an update. I would like to ask Anna to provide the update on Exhibit G, physical solution transfers. Anna?
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone, again, and Happy New Year to you all. You may recall, and pursuant to the restated judgment, Exhibit G, paragraph 9, under physical solution transfers, this is the mechanism yearly where if members of the non-ag pool wish to transfer water to appropriators, they needed to notify Watermaster by December 31 of their total available volume. And to ensure a smoother process, and as we do every year, staff sent out an email to all non-ag pool parties on December 1st requesting the available volume. This year, on December 30th, we received one intent to sell form from Hamner Park Associates, who offered 800 acre feet available for purchase. And you may also recall that in March of 2019, the court did approve the non-ag pool's amended pooling plan, which now allows them to set their own Exhibit G rate. And so at their special meeting on November 23rd, they did set a rate for use of $695 per acre foot. And so the next step in the process is for Watermaster by January 31 to distribute a potential allocation table to all appropriators indicating their pro rata share of the available water, should they be interested in purchasing. So if you are in fact interested, please be on the lookout for my email, which I will distribute soon, containing that allocation table along with the intent to purchase form. Just a reminder, appropriators, if interested, have until March 1 to declare interest. And that's all I have on this item. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, hearing none. Thank you, Anna.
Anna will also give an update on where we are in receiving letters of representation from various parties for calendar year 2021.
Yes, thank you, Peter. As you all know by now, at every year end, I send letters to every party to the judgment requesting updated records for Watermaster for representatives and alternates to each agency. Most of you have been fantastic. There are a handful of letters that are still outstanding, and it's pertinent that we have the correct and updated information for our records, specifically for voting purposes on each pool committee and so forth. So if you haven't already sent in your letter, please do so as soon as possible. Thank you.
We should call them out, Anna. Let's say who they are. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm one of them.
No, John, it's not you.
Okay.
I can. It's a party that's not very active in the pool. It's City of Fontana. Chuck Hayes has received my email. They just haven't responded for whatever reason. But
yeah, Chuck,
other than that, everyone on the appropriate pool has submitted their letter.
Okay. Well, we'll reach out to Fontana. I know Chuck Hayes is retiring, and I don't know. I think he may be gone already. So, okay. Thank you, Anna.
The next item on my report is status of replenishment water delivery. You will recall that at the end of last production year, there was a replenishment obligation. Justin Nakano is responsible for making those replenishment water purchases and deliveries. Justin?
Hi, thank you, Peter. Hello again, everybody. This year's obligation was 1,912 acre feet, which we purchased through Three Valleys and delivered to basins within the MZ1 area. Deliveries began on November 20th and ended on December 5th. And
It actually was delivered to the exact amount, which is pretty awesome considering they're just turning valves and trying to get it just right. So that accuracy is greatly appreciated. Just a note, delivering the water in 2020 made sure that we were getting the tier one treated rate before the $10 increase that occurred on January 1st. All in all, saving the parties about $19,000 because we got it in before the beginning of the year. So, thank you.
There are no questions on that. Justin, thank you. It looks like the delivery started pretty much as soon as the board approved the assessment package and had to jump on that to make sure we got it in the calendar year. Next is a note, as the pool committee members are aware, Water Master is tasked with the responsibility of having a panel of individuals that can serve as hearing officers in case of a contest, and that is updated on an annual basis. A preview for what will be presented to the board will be given to you by Anna.
Yes. Thank you, Peter. As Peter mentioned, pursuant to Water Master's rules and regs, Article 10, Section 10.22, Water Master is required to maintain a panel of five individuals who have technical expertise and familiarity with the Chino Basin should the need arise relating to applications, contests, and complaints. And as we've done in prior years, we have confirmed with the individuals that they are interested and willing to continue to serve on the panel for calendar year 2021. And in alphabetical order by their last name, these people are Kurt Urchtold, Anthony Brown, Felicia Marcus, Feruz Mortazabi, and John Rossi. And as Peter also mentioned, once the board appoints at the January meeting, they will be the official hearing panel for the calendar year.
Thank you, Anna. Under other, I have a smattering of items that would be good for the pool committee members to hear about. The first one is an item relating to some wells that are on a right-of-way under permit held by the City of Ontario. And Edgar has been working with Chris Quach for the city and looking for some change in the way the permit is held. And I would like to ask Edgar to describe that issue.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. Happy 2021. So, as we have informed the pool in the past, Water Master keeps a tally of the wells that are in danger of going away, and those wells that we use for our monitoring or other bodies use for monitoring, in an effort to keep a robust monitoring network in the basin. We have been in contact with the City of Ontario, with Chris Quach. They informed us that they have a permit for a well that is in flood control property that they will not monitor anymore. And they asked if the well was in our interest for adding to our monitoring well. So we looked at it. West Yost has looked at those wells, and this particular well is of interest of us, so we're working with the city to transfer the permit from the city to Water Master to keep monitoring and maintaining the well. This comes with an annual inspection fee of about $1,200, and that Water Master will assume that commitment moving forward, and we will continue to monitor and maintain the well and add it to our monitoring network. This item will come to you in a staff report form for advisory committee for advice and assistance, and then later we'll go to the Water Master Board for approval of transfer of the permit. So are there any questions?
There are none, thank you.
Thank you, Edgar. So I'd like to wrap up a couple of other little items. The first one is to let you know that We're working with staff from IUA on the topic of water use efficiency. The topic of water use efficiency has many different facets affecting all things water in Chino Basin. The reason we're engaged with IUA is to understand the effect of the new standards on water use efficiency. Those new standards will be being promulgated pursuant to state law. This is something that was raised during the safe yield recalculation. And so we're looking to understand what will those be. We're looking to understand what data is being used and make sure that if there are data requests, that those data requests are funneled directly to you so that you can provide actual data that you're comfortable with. We're looking to understand what decision points the state is reaching, DWR, in setting those standards so we can help you understand that. And if there are public meetings to receive input, to make sure that you know those public meetings are coming and what the various issues are, the pros and the cons. So you can expect to hear more information from us on that jointly with IUA. Beginning with advisory committee next week, we'll bring that information to you. Ultimately, we believe that the standards for indoor and outdoor use efficiency will have an effect on the safe yield of the basin. And so that is, for us, a very significant issue. We believe it's a very significant issue for you, and we're looking to be engaged and involved and make sure that you are as well to see it unfold. So please stay tuned for that at advisory. Any questions on that?
Peter, just for clarification, this is Justin. The water sufficiency standards you're talking about, those are the standards that will apply to retail water agencies, specifically to members of the appropriative pool in terms of development of urban water use targets that will come into regulatory effect by 2023. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, it's a big process that's driven at the state level. Aqua has a big involvement, and the Water Master's role in this is not to champion one thing or another. It is to make sure that whatever is happening process-wise is clearly communicated to make sure that agencies that may have their plate full are aware of this process and participate appropriately and weigh in on what is happening so that decisions made by the state are as appropriate as possible by your agencies.
And I guess, Peter, the only question, and maybe for further conversation in the future, is any weighing in done by Water Master and IUA will be done after getting input from the retail agencies that these regulations will directly impact. And so we'll be fully coordinated on all of that as we move forward, right?
That's the whole point. We don't want you to be left out of the process. We want you to understand the process is going on, and we think that we can be a very good conduit of that. And again, from Water Master's perspective, the safe yield is of paramount importance, so we want to be up close and watch how this process unfolds so we fully understand it for when we look at safe yield next in 2025.
Thank you.
Any other questions on that? Next is a brief update. Wanted to remind everyone there is an ongoing effort to have an integrated Santa Ana River model. The integrated model is surface and groundwater interaction. We are tracking the potential uses of the model to make sure that it's not used in Chino Basin inappropriately, because we don't think it's accurate in Chino Basin. We're also looking to see, there is some conversation about possibly expanding the scope of the model to also be used for water quality consideration investigations, which we don't think the model is suited to do. So we're tracking that As soon as we have something substantive to report, we will be bringing that to you. And last but not least, very excited that we are going to be going live on our new website on February 1. And we will be giving a preview of the new website at advisory next week and at the board in 2 weeks. So you can see how and how it looks before it goes live. Again, live date is February 1. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Okay, let's move on to the next item. Item 5 is information only. There's two items in your package. One, notice of intent regarding the determination of operating safe field, and number 2 is recharge investigations and projects committee RIPCON. Next, we have pool member comments. Any comments from the members of the pool?
Hi, John. One comment. This is Chris. And I hope I didn't miss this to be so clear, but I had made a request to the staff. One of the things I'd like to see is one of the reports on groundwater recharge, where we're at. I know that Andy used to do those prior to, you know, a couple of years ago, and maybe it's been a little while. So just understanding where we are with groundwater recharge with regards to stormwater and recycled water, imported water, would be helpful. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
That is coming.
Anybody?
That's coming at advisory.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the pool? Okay, hearing none. Other business for the pool? All right. Then our next item is confidential session. We do have a confidential session today. Everybody should have their numbers to call in on that. Let's take a 9-minute break and let's go into confidential session at 10:30 if everybody can be on by then.
The recorder's on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the appropriate pool is coming out of closed session. We have no reportable action from closed session. And that concludes our meeting. Meeting is adjourned.
All right. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.